Praise the living God. I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful. You know, this is where it's at because you know what? This is my roots. It was 16 years ago when my life was busted and disgusted. I was shooting up meth for years. I was an alcoholic. And it was a ministry like this. Turquoise Lodge didn't take me. Different places didn't take me. And I finally, when I was introduced into that Victory Home back in 2001, something began to change in my life. I've never been the same again. I want to let you know something here this morning. God has did something in me that nobody could ever do because He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. It is Jesus. It has always been the Lord. And so I stand up here thankful. Little did I know I would be a man going through that Victory Home 15 years later becoming a director. So I'm very grateful. I love the men in the home. The work that Anthony and Savannah are doing and the women. It's just tremendous. And what's happening in the Victory Homes in Albuquerque. What's happening under Isaac and Priscilla, man. Pastor Renee, what's the work that's happening. Pastor Charlie. I could go on and on. We are a family unit. We are together in this. And it's so good to know that we're not alone. Amen. And that we got leaders and we got people that we could call upon and someone that's gone before us and trailblazed a little bit. Someone that knows a little bit of something, a little something, something, right? Because I don't got it all together. And for me to even be standing up here, man, is the toughest thing I've ever have to do every time I'm called upon. And I still wonder why they keep giving me the mic. But I'm doing it out of obedience. Amen. I do it for the Lord. I do it for the Lord. Every morning I wake up and I just have to smile in my bed. Because if I don't start smiling my day, see, it determines your day the way you act from that time. You open up your eyes. You either begin to open your eyes and start singing to the Lord, or you could sit there and think about all the pressures and all the things that you got to deal with as a director, as a pastor, as a leader. The list goes on and on. But my day starts with smiling to Jesus because I know my Lord smiles upon me. And I know my Lord smiles upon Victory Outreach because Victory Outreach is in the trenches. Victory Outreach is where it's at. Victory Outreach is mobilized. We're going forward and there's nothing that could stop us. So people, men and women in the homes, you that is in the church, don't stop going forward when times get tough. Just know that the Lord has made a way of escape for you. Amen. He's there to build you. He's there to build you. I had no idea I was going to get a little excited like that. I'm very grateful for Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara. My leaders, my God, and Pastor Charles, man. These guys have put up with me for years. They're great leaders, and I've learned so much from them. Sam, everyone, I could just, man, you know me, I get up here and I just start wanting to talk about everybody else. Because I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Ulysses, man, every God. Come on, group hug, come on. I was up there greeting last night and who was it I was telling? Somebody, I told my wife, it's like, man, they're not used to seeing me here. And this kind of like greeting is kind of like maybe a power spot for me. But then, I made my wife laugh. I said, I'm gonna go and hug everybody. I'm gonna scare them off, you know. Like, hey, it's good to have you. Come on, group hug, you know. And so I didn't want to scare anybody off, so I had to be cool. I had to stand there. Welcome into the house of the Lord. Thank you. Have your seat. But man, I have fun with Jesus. You know what I mean? Since I've been, Pastor Nate. I got to tell something. I know this service, I know I should have been in. So Pastor Renee from Las Cruces, he calls me, it was a while back. They came into town and they wanted to, you know, Isaac and Priscilla and him and his wife and his family, we all met for breakfast and I told them where we were going to meet. And so the whole time I was telling him Wex, he thought I was saying Rex. And so we have this funny little inside joke about, you know, T-Rex, you know, I do this little, you know, inside joke, just something to make you laugh, because the whole time he really still thinks it's a T-Rex. So anyway, Praise the Lord. Let me get busy with this. I am not a comedian by all means at all. I'm so grateful. I titled this message, The Wholehearted Man, The Wholehearted Woman. I want to speak a little bit about serving God wholeheartedly, serving God with a whole heart devotion unto the Lord, unto this vision, unto our leaders, unto people, one another. Amen? What it means to follow or serve the Lord wholeheartedly, serving God to the very end. I want you to know that it brings such a great reward that you and I can't even wrap our minds around it. But the Bible's clear that the believer who stands in Christ to the very end shall receive their spiritual inheritance. And that is heaven, my brothers and sisters, my friends, heaven bound. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelations. We will start there. We are going to be reading a lot of scripture here this morning because it's all about God's Word. Revelations chapter 21. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we need you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Revelations chapter 21. Verses 7 and 8, the Bible reads, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm here to let you know that it doesn't have to end that way for the believer. It doesn't end that way for the people of God. It doesn't end that way for Victory Outreach. Can I get someone a little excited this morning? It doesn't end that way for those that choose to accept Christ and follow Him wholeheartedly until His return. John 3. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 21. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture, like I told you. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. Give me a pretty good amen when you're there. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. My brothers and my sisters, in order for you and I to be progressive, in order for you and I to continue on the path of righteousness, in order for you and I to continue to be mobilized, in order to go forward, we've got to be all in for the Lord. We can't be half-hearted. You can't be a third. The glass cannot only be a third or a quarter or halfway full on this, my brothers and sisters. God is looking for men and women that are wholehearted unto the Lord. They're wholehearted devotion to our Savior. His deeds may be clearly seen, and they have been done in God. And so God is looking for a man or a woman of an earnest heart. He's looking for a man or a woman that is genuine, a man or a woman who is real, someone who is true, someone that says what they say and does what they say they're going to do. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Let's check it out. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through verses 28. We're talking about being wholehearted. We're talking about being filled of God and doing everything we've got to do to bring pleasure to our Father in heaven. Amen? When Jesus said to his disciples, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly I say unto you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. We're here to let you know this morning, God is calling you and I to exchange the half-hearted way of living for the whole-hearted way of living for Jesus Christ. We are no longer about our own agenda, as Pastor said last night, but we are on a higher schedule, higher level. Our standards are much broad and higher now within our lives. We are on God's agenda. When you gave your life to the Lord, you gave everything to the Lord. If you have a hard time here this morning giving all to Jesus, then you're only halfway. You're half-stepping. It's when a man or a woman gives it over to the Lord, and it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're going to stand out on a limb because you know God's there to get you when you jump, when you go fishing for men, for people that are hurting. When you stand up wherever you are on the street corner, wherever you are, if you're in your house, if you're with the neighbor, if you're behind a pulpit, are you going to stand on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we going to allow anxieties and fears trip us and trouble us? Are you with me this morning? We are a ministry. We are wholehearted, man. We got some founders that are wholehearted. And when you really break down wholehearted, you know what it all comes down to? Passion. I could have very easily put passion. The whole thing, this is passion. Passion for the harvest. Passion for the cause. Passion for our Lord. Passion for people. If you have passion for God, then it won't be long before you will have passion for people. It's all about people. God is calling you and I to exchange the half-hearted way of living for the whole-hearted way of living for God. God is looking for whole-hearted men and women and young people to serve Him. To serve Him. What does it mean to serve God wholeheartedly? What does it mean to serve Him? The Bible tells us, right from Scripture where we just read, Jesus Christ said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. See, you got to deny yourself. That is a very uncomfortable thing to do. Because we're so used to doing things our way. Big Dave Nick, I like to do things my way. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I like to try to do this and do that, but the Lord says, you can't do this, you can't do that no more. Get your big old butt over here, man. You can't do that. You can't do these things no more. We have to be able to just deny ourselves. And that's tough, right? Can I get a witness in this place? It's tough. Denying ourselves. Jesus says you have to deny yourself and take up his cross, your cross, and follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. My goodness. What Jesus was saying is to first deny ourselves by picking up the cross from our own interests, for God's interests. Building the kingdom, serving Him with the whole heart, it's going to mean denying yourself, men and women in the homes and in the church. This is why every time you should step out of a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a youth service or wherever the God's word is being mentioned, you should be pricked to the heart. You should be challenged. You should be feeling uncomfortable. That's real deal right there. Are you with me? This is not a feel-good kind of mission we're on. This is not a call of convenience. This is a call of inconvenience. My God, you guys are serious. It's because I'm serious. It's crazy how whoever's speaking could change the atmosphere by the way, you know what I mean? If I'm happy, you're happy. If I'm serious, you're serious. So you have the power to change anything wherever you go. You have the fire inside of you. Men and women alike, the unbeliever, they will look at you and they will go, they are crazy, but there is something different about them. But as long as they're around other company, they're going to make you look bad. But deep inside, they're pricked to the heart. Something's happening. And so you have the power to possess what God has given you to demonstrate it in the rightful manner. To be children of God. To show the joy of the Lord. To be serious with the Lord. To have fun in the Lord, to live life in the Lord is everything. Because I'll tell you, every time I put that needle in my arm, that methamphetamine, boy, it had me fooled for 14 years of my life. And I knew that there was a God. I've always known in Jesus. But we all take a wrong turn. We took a left turn. But God knew He was going to be glorified later on. He said, it don't matter. I'm in control. I'm steady-minded, you see. You're a human being. You're having some failures. You're having some hiccups. You're having a little bit of problems. That's okay. Because later on, I'm going to prove you to be a mighty, mighty man and woman of God. And they will know that you are mine. They might have called you this, but now they're going to call you something different in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, what Jesus was saying is to first deny ourselves by picking up the cross from our own interests for God's interests. Building the kingdom by serving Him with a whole heart. Reaching people with a whole heart. Loving people with a whole heart. Discipling people with a whole heart. It's not always easy. It's not always easy following the Lord, my brothers and sisters. But it's the right thing. It's the right thing to be doing. It's not easy, but one thing is certain. It's always the right thing. It's not easy, but it's the right thing that you can ever do. Because for the Christian, there will be suffering and pain. But the good news is, God promised us, Jesus promised us a peace that the world cannot give you. He cannot give it. He gave us His peace. And so it's that peace that surpasses all human understanding. It's that peace that will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It's that peace that in the midst of your struggle, you know that God's up to something pretty good. You have that sense of knowing that you're going to make it, right? It's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. You know, we will have trial and we will have tribulation. But nothing compares to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, according to Paul, and I believe in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10. There's nothing that compares to knowing him. To knowing him. When you get in the presence of God, it has been an art to try to learn how to seek after the Lord. And we all have our way of seeking after the Lord. But the moment I begin to engage with my Father, I begin to think about what he looks like and what the Son looks like and the Holy Spirit. I see them together. I try to figure it out. But the moment I begin to seek the face of God, because see, we seek the hand of God quite often. God's already given us what we need. He's constantly taking care of his people. But he's looking for a man or a woman who's going to be wholehearted in their devotion to seek the face of God. Now, I don't know what the face of God looks like. But when I look into your faces, I see God. And so that is pretty good proof and evidence to me that there's a Lord just by us being here and having eyes to see and being able to breathe and being able to walk and being able to see the beauty of nature. The list goes on and on. Apostle Paul makes it very clear in the beginning of Romans that we are out without excuse just by his creation alone to know that there is a one and only true God. And by you being here and by you living and breathing and moving and setting examples for not only me but for each other, that is fire. That is wholeheartedness. That is full devotion to the Lord. Amen? Serving God in the world's eye view isn't the popular thing to do. Can somebody be a witness here? It's nothing popular about it. But in the Lord's eye view, it's the best thing you can ever do. It's not popular. It's not supposed to be popular. It's popular to the world and to the evil system of this world. See, the unbeliever doesn't understand it. That's why they're always going to peg you for this and that. But by your fruit, they're going to know who you really are. Amen? The Word of God is full of different kinds of people who demonstrated courage and willingness to serve God no matter how they felt, what they were facing or what they were going through. They followed God wholeheartedly no matter what. No matter what. God is looking for men and women who will serve him with a full heart. Men and women who will stand the test of time. And there's many in this room who have stood the test of time. There's your proof that God is real and he's loving and he's caring and he's got your back. There's a specific man I want to bring out as I begin to start closing. A man we want to point out that served God wholeheartedly, that withstood the test of time to the very end. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. A lot of word reading. This is what it's all about, because my words, boy, my words are going to... That's why. This is the one thing I learned when I was in the home. It's that word. I remember the first time I was challenged to get up there by my director, Pastor Jerry. He said, "I want you to give the men a word." I said, "Oh my God." So I went up there and I gave him a word. I opened up the Bible. I don't remember where, and I didn't know how to preach yet. I think I gave testimony. I'm starting to learn how to give testimony. Everything went. I tried to put something together, and everything went fuzzy. It just went fuzzy. I was like, I knew this wasn't going to work. My faith was weak. Everything I knew. Why did they put me up here? The same thing. You know how weak it can be. It's like, why do they keep? Why? Isn't there someone else? But then we have to be thankful. Chosen. It's for certain tasks for the mission. And so I get up there and I finally, it's not working this way. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I did this right. And so I just open up the Bible and I start reading. And I read. And I read. And I kept reading. Women's home, I already walked up. They had to leave already. I kept reading. No, I'm just kidding. The women's home was not there when this happened. I read and I read and I read because that's all I knew. And I still, for the life of me, understand. I don't know where that was. Excuse me. It's the Word of God. And so I read and I read and I remember I walked off of there and everybody was just looking at me like, oh, well. And so I walked away and I felt kind of discouraged. But then I had to go, you know, then I got encouraged because I realized someone came and gave me encouragement to tell me that that's what it's all about. See, I felt like I had to, like, you know what I mean? I had. But I couldn't. And you can't. But it's only by our faith in Jesus Christ that we're introduced into this salvation. We're introduced with the power. And so all you and I need to do is speak the word. That's what this is all about. It's about the word of God that transforms the mind and the heart of mankind. And so several times throughout that year, even when I was a staff, I didn't know how to do a message. I'd get up there and just read the word and I'd walk off and they just look at me like, okay. I said, what? It's the word. You're getting, what do I have that he doesn't have to offer you? Joshua chapter 14. Good stuff, huh? These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. For the nine tribes and the half tribe, for Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe on the other side of the Jordan. But to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land, except cities to dwell in, with their common lands for their livestock and their property. And the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly... The word holy, fully, followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Heavy. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. In case you're wondering what man we want to discuss briefly, I want to talk about Caleb. Caleb. Caleb's name in the Hebrew means dog. Means dog or bold. So some of you guys like to go up to each other and say, "What's up, dog?" You know what you're saying? You say, "What's up, bold? What's up, you know, pet chest bumps? What's up, dog?" That's ridiculous. It means dog. That's crazy. His name means dog or bold. Famous bearer. Caleb was one of the 12 Israelite leaders sent by Moses to explore the promised land. Right? Caleb and Joshua were the only two that came back with a positive report, while the other 10 spies came back with a negative report, according to Numbers chapter 13. It's mentioned in Numbers 13, verse 30, that Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." It's also mentioned in Numbers 14, verse 24. The Lord gave Caleb a promise because of his courageous heart and his positive attitude. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Right? That's good stuff right there. I'll just drop the mic and walk. Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 30 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in." See, this generation didn't inherit the promise from God, because they were half-hearted for God. They weren't in touch with God the way they needed to be. They were what you would call fence straddlers. Come on now. One leg in, one leg out. One leg in for God, and the other leg in for the evil system of this world. You're either all the way in for God, or you are all the way out. And those are the words that were constantly coming before me when I was in the victory home. Day after day, making a decision the first 3 months. It was difficult and it was hard because I was kicking against the goads. I didn't know if this is where I was supposed to be. All because I was going through trouble and trial, and it was supposed to be that way for me to get to where I needed to be. The same for you. I was doubting in a lot of ways. I believed, but then I didn't believe. I believed, I didn't believe. You know what I'm saying? Isn't that common for people? There's a difference. When you believe, there's an action word in the word believe. You have to know that believing is more than just, "Oh, I believe." Believing is putting your feet one step at a time and going forward. "Oh my God, here's the mountain. Lord, I need you now." You know what I'm saying? And you get your mountain time, and oh, it's a struggle. You get up on the mountain, but you're going to keep on going because you know that Jesus said, "I'm going to go before you." Right? "I'm going to make the crooked places straight. Because on the other side of this mountain, man, there's someone waiting for you. There's somebody that's in despair. There's someone in despair and hopelessness, and they're waiting for you to make a difference. So if you give up now, that's all right, because I will raise someone else up to climb this mountain that you're on, because you're going to get to the top, and you're going to find a little bit of mount success for a moment, only to relieve yourself from your tired little journey, because a little bit further on, you're going to have the strength to go and give somebody else some hope. And then after that, God is going to take you down the mountain. And as you're going down the mountain, you're going to enter into valleys, to the sand dunes. And then before you know it, you're in the valley. And so you're in the valley now. And now you start to question God again. Is God speaking here this morning? We question God in everything. That's okay, as long as we are stepping. I have a limp. Excuse my limp. We're stepping forward. We're stepping forward. That doesn't disqualify you. It's when you say you believe and you don't do nothing. When you do nothing. I know what it means. You know what it means to be stagnant and to stay and to be comfortable in doing nothing. That is displeasing to the Lord. He's created us to step forward, onward, upward. I'm going to take you down the mountain now. Now you're going to go in the valley. I got to teach you some things here. But he takes you only into the valley for you to go through your moments so that you could get past your moments enough to see that someone else is hopeless and in despair again. So that you can be right there in the trench with them. See, God has called Victory Outreach to go into the places where nobody else wants to go. And so Paul says that he has learned to be all things to all people. And so you have to put yourself off of the little pedestal. And you got to go through the grind a little bit. And when you're in the valley, you better remain in God and understand, even though it's a little touchy and things are a little weary at times, but you got to know and you have to have enough faith to believe that he is with you no matter what. Oh, it doesn't seem like God's around. Things are dark. Things are getting unclear. What is going on? But you know in your heart, because of the power of the Holy Spirit is nudging you, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. There's someone there. They're on their way. They're about to die. You need to get to them. You got to keep going. Don't stop. It's always for somebody else, because he's already done for you and me. Hallelujah. So we see the generation didn't inherit the promise from God because they were half-hearted for God and not wholehearted. They were what you'd call, I said, fence straddlers, one leg in for the world and the other leg in for God. And really, you can't do both. You could try. And there's probably a lot of people that come to church and still tamper with darkness. They go and do a little tap dance with Satan for a while. Then they slip into church. And then they go back and forth. Little tap dancers, little tappity tappies. Why? Why not just trust God now? And that's okay if you got to keep doing that until it finally registers. But eventually, you got to just take a stand for God and get your rear inskis into the Victory Home, or get in touch with some of the strong leaders in the ministry that run departments and get under their wing. Get saved. Get under them. Start helping. Start doing something instead of complaining about everybody. For God's sake. Man, I want to just stay there for a moment. I'm going to keep going. Because the Lord is saying, you have no leg to stand on. Okay. So we see, you either are all the way in for God or you're all the way against God. Caleb, on the other hand, was a wholehearted man towards God. Caleb believed in what was happening in his life. Caleb went through things just like anybody else does. Caleb was right there, fixed, and he was focused through his troubled moments, probably wondering if the promise was coming to pass. But he stood with Moses, and Moses passed away. He stood with Joshua, and he was a great leader. He was victorious. He was the kind of guy I kind of think of as like being a gang warrior. He was on the behind the scenes kind of guy, training, discipling, building up the next generation, because there was a lot of youngies coming in. Youngsters, because the other generation had, God had to, you can't get it here, you can't come over here. You got too much junk and you love your junk, so you have to stay. And so the next generation started coming about, and Joshua was the prime example. Joshua had his leader's back. He remembered the word of the Lord about Kadesh Barnea. He remembered that the Lord said that there is land for you there. He knew that it was going to be a fight to the end. And he was 40, it was when it was first spoken, like 40 some years old. And then he's at 80 years old saying, I'm as strong now as I was then. That is from the Lord. He gave me that land. Give it to me. I will fight for it. I will do everything. I am wholehearted to the Lord. I've been wholehearted to you, Moses, Joshua, to your people. Let me build on my land so that when I die, my family has an inheritance. Caleb. It's amazing to me when I think about this guy. He was wholehearted to the bitter end. Because he did not think about himself. He thought about the future. Upcoming behind him. Those who were next. He knew his family. They've been through a lot of anguish. A lot of hardship. A lot of hard trial. Are you with me? Because I know some of you know what I'm talking about. But he made it. He made it. And he had a good attitude, I believe, all the way through. It's the difference. See, your attitude, what I was talking about earlier, when you wake up in the morning, I tell the homes this all the time, you determine your course by your attitude. If the staff want to be bitter, well, they better get ready to expect bitterness from the rest of the guys. Vice versa. But when you get up and you smile and you push your way through and you know that God's got something for you, oh, you're in your little struggle. You're having your little issue, but there's something bigger than you. You got to get out of you. I got to get out of me. Because it's bigger and it's better. So don't become bitter. Be better. That's not in my notes. That's Caleb. Caleb was given a promise from God, and he positioned himself and his descendants for the fulfillment of the promise. I'm going to conclude because I'm probably going too long. Conclusion. Once again, Joshua 14, verses 6 through 15 says, then the children of Judah. We're reading this word because it's obviously got to get stuck in us. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here am I, this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there. In case you're wondering, the Anakim, they were giants. There was big giants in the land. And as a matter of fact, the ones that where his inheritance was, they were the biggest ones of them all. But he was enthusiastic. He was determined. He knew who his God was. He knew his Lord is the one who fights his battle. He knew it. And you must know it. I'm going to stop right there. You have a promise. I have a promise. There is a promise. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own little issues and our own little problems that it stifles us. It stops us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, Caleb was characterized by showing complete sincerity and commitment first to God, and secondly to his leaders, and thirdly to the young generation that God was raising up around him to influence. Devin, little Caleb. Caleb had what it took to impact a generation with the same kind of wholeheartedness, committed, devoted, dedicated, enthusiastic, unshakable, unwavering kind of spirit. This is the man that I respect highly because he has stood the test of time. There's so many men and women that stand the test and stood it in this Bible. And this is the word of the Lord that he wanted me to speak to us here this morning. God is looking for people to follow him and serve him wholeheartedly to the very end until Christ comes back. I heard it said in a quote that there are many believers who are truly Christ's, but who are not wholly his. In other words, not fully his. He is present in their lives, but not president of their lives. And I want to end out with the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Turn with me, please. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. In conclusion of this message this morning. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody stand in this place this morning. I'm not too sure what you're going through or what you're dealing with, but all I know is that there is a great, huge, big old God that is able to calm any storm in your life. The God that you and I serve is a God who looks for a man or a woman of a committed and a loyal heart. He's a God who looks for someone who is able to step down and humble themselves in the presence of God and humble themselves in the presence of people. The God you and I serve is not moved by your many abilities, by the things that you can do and this and that, or showing off of this and that, unless you're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. The God that you and I serve is looking for men and women who are wholehearted to the end. Wholehearted. Wholehearted. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we come before you, Lord, as your people, and you are our God. And Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that you hold tomorrow. And you know the plans you have for us, oh God. You have such good plans for us. You have a great future for us. And Lord, we're so minute in our minds at times. We have a hard time believing, Lord God. But Lord, we repent of our unbelief. Father, we repent of walking half-heartedly. We repent of not being in our word and praying and evangelizing the way we need to be. We repent, my God, of allowing arrogance to step up too many times when really, Lord God, it's humility that you're looking for. Father, please forgive us this morning. As a people, we come under you, Lord, for you are our commanding officer. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We don't want to lean on our own understanding, oh God. We want to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Everything we set out to do, God, we want to acknowledge you in it. Oh, Jesus. We acknowledge you, Jesus. You said, Lord God, that you would direct our path, my God. You said that when we do these things, you direct us. You will go before us and direct us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for those right now, Lord. Maybe, Lord God, this message has spoke to them. Maybe they feel uneasy. Lord, help them right now, God. Bring a peace upon them. Help them understand, Lord, it's only beneficial for them and it's beneficial for us, all of us, God. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for your message, for your word to us. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to continue to do within this regional summit. In the name of Jesus, if you're make your ways to the altar, let's open the altar for a little bit. Let's open the altars for a little bit. We got our regional pastors. Some of them are here.
No place I'd rather be.
A lot of the guys in the home.
No
women.
Place I would rather be.
There's needs that you need. And no these men of God and these women of God have what you need. They have what is delivered to you.
No
and the anointing upon their life.
Be. No
oh,
place
Jesus.
I'd rather be.
Jesus, Jesus.
No place I'd rather be.
Just press in. Press into the one who's created you. The one who has your back. Keep going.
Lord,
sing out to the Lord.
Here I am, Lord, take control.